Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hello there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you to Your Place of Grace podcast. Today we begin a brand new series entitled, Let's Talk Bible Prophecy. It seems like there's a whole lot of talk about the end times and what's going to happen as far as the Bible is concerned. And today specifically, we're going to talk about the signs of the times. So can we really estimate dates for end time events? It's very unwise to even attempt that. The Bible reveals that no one can know the day or the hour of specific end time events. There's just no way to know. In Matthew 24:36, even Jesus himself stated, "Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." And likewise, Jesus affirms in Acts 1, verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." While setting dates is prohibited by God, the Lord Jesus did indicate that we can deduce that his coming is not far off. He said in Matthew 24, "For from the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So also, when you see these things, you know that he is near, at the very gates." So our Lord lets us know we are in the end times via the signs of the times. So what are the signs of the times? What do we mean by that? This phrase, signs of the times, refers to specific characteristics or conditions that will exist in the end times. And when people on earth witness these, then they can deduce that they are living in the end of days. In such a way, these signs might be considered God's intel in advance, if I can say that. By the signs of the times, God gives us an intelligent report regarding what the world will look like as we enter into the end times. So, aren't certain signs of the times limited to the 7-year tribulation period? The answer is yes. The Bible reveals that certain specific signs will take place during the 7-year Great Tribulation period. In Matthew 24:3, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" In verses 4 and following, Jesus then proceeds to speak a number of signs of the times that will predominate in the years prior to his second coming. And these years unfold during the tribulation period. Some people might be tempted to think that the tribulation signs of the times are not relevant for us today, since the rapture will apparently precede the tribulation. However, we are witnessing many events in the world that are setting the stage for this fulfillment of prophecies during the future tribulation period. So any stage setting that indicates the tribulation period may be drawing near, it's also an indication that the rapture of the church is even nearer. A man named Dr. John F. Walvoord gave an illustration years ago that helps us to understand all of this. Walvoord compared the rapture to Thanksgiving and the second coming to Christmas. There are all kinds of signs, TV, radio, internet, newspaper ads, manger scenes, lights, decorations, those signs indicate Christmas is drawing near, right? The signs are everywhere. But Thanksgiving Day can sneak up on us. We really don't see obvious signs that Thanksgiving is approaching. But if Thanksgiving has not yet taken place, and we're seeing clear signs for the soon arrival for Christmas, we know that Thanksgiving is all the nearer. So then, by analogy, as we witness the stage being set today for events that will take place during the tribulation period in anticipation of the second coming of the Lord, we can know that the rapture is indeed drawing very near. I believe that just as minor tremors or foreshocks often occur before major earthquakes, so preliminary manifestations of some of these signs are emerging prior to the Great Tribulation period. Somebody said that prophecies cast their shadows before them. Yeah, you know, I think that's true. Prophecies that relate specifically to the tribulation period are presently casting their shadows before them. So the stage is now being set, now, for their fulfillment. So are there different kinds of signs of the times? I think so. I do believe so. To make the signs of the times more accessible to students of prophecy, there are certain people that have come up with something really cool, and I love this. They've come up with six categories: the rebirth of Israel, moral signs, religious signs, national alignment signs, earth and sky signs, and technological signs. So how is the rebirth of Israel a sign of the times? Well, Israel's rebirth is what you could call a super sign. This particular sign far precedes the tribulation period, but also it sets the stage for it. The Bible reveals that the Jews will be regathered from the four corners of the earth in the end times. We find that in Isaiah 11:12. After the nation of Israel is reestablished, and that's found in Isaiah 66, verses 7 and 8. And God promised this. God said, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. That's Ezekiel 36, 24. So notice that these verses do not say the Jews would be regathered from a single nation, as was the case of Babylonian captivity. But rather, the Jews would be regathered from the nations and all the countries and be brought back to their own land, Israel. This is what makes the year 1948 so significant. For it is the year that Israel achieved statehood. And then in 1967, Israel captured Jerusalem and the West Bank during the Six-Day War. Jews have been returning to their homeland ever since. While we might call this present regathering of the Jews a regathering in unbelief, a day is coming, I believe in immediate proximity to Jesus' second coming, where the Jews will finally recognize Jesus Christ as the divine Messiah and call upon him for deliverance from the armies gathered for Armageddon, at which point their deliverance will surely come. So, is the Middle East conflict also an indicator of the end times? Well, let me say this. The entire Middle East has been an arena of conflict for over 60 years. Wars in the region include the War of Independence, which brought Israel statehood. The Suez War and the Sinai Campaign, it's also called, was in 1956. The Six-Day War in 1967. The War of Attrition in 68 through 70. And the Yom Kippur October War of 73. There's also the Lebanese War of 1979 through 76. The Iran-Iraq War, 1980 through 88. The Lebanon War of 82 through 85. Boy, there's been lots and lots of conflict. There's the Persian Gulf War that we were in 1991, the war with Iraq, and the War on Terror in 2000. Many people wonder whether there will be peace in the Middle East ever. Today, many are crying out for a leader who can take control of world crises and solve the Middle East problem. And this yearning for a solution to the Middle East problem is a setting, it's a setting the stage for what is to come. For the Bible prophesies that the Antichrist, the leader of a revived Roman Empire, United States of Europe, will one day sign a covenant with Israel, as we see in Daniel 9:27. And to the amazement of everyone, he will have solved the Middle East dilemma. And seen in this light, the Middle East conflict is an indicator of the end times. So what about, here's another sign, what about moral signs of the end times? Scripture speaks of moral signs that will emerge during these end times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says, "Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people." That's pretty clear. Notice that in the last days there will be lovers of self. You might call this humanism. Then lovers of money. That's pure and simply materialism. And lovers of pleasure. We might call this hedonism. Humanism, materialism, hedonism are three of the most prominent philosophies in our world today, and they often go together in a complementary fashion, for sure. Related to this, Jesus himself warned about the end times. He said, "Because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." Wow, that's powerful. While this passage in Matthew 24 refers to the future tribulation period, we can't help but see, even in our own day, that this attitude that Jesus described, people are merrily going on their way, seemingly without concern for the things of God. And what are some religious signs of these times? Well, prophetic scripture refers to many religious signs that will find fulfillment in the tribulation period. And that's before the tribulation period. And these include false Christs. What's that mean? In Matthew 24:24, Jesus himself warned about the end times. He said, "False Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." The Apostle Paul also warned of a different Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 11:4, the danger, of course, is this counterfeit Jesus who preaches a counterfeit gospel yields counterfeit salvation. There are no exceptions to this. Hey, look, even in our own day, we witness this unprecedented rise in false Christs and self-constituted messiahs who are affiliated with a kingdom of cults and the occult. And this will no doubt continue to escalate as we move forward into the end times. He said there will be false prophets and teachers. The Bible contains many warnings against false prophets and false teachers, for the simple reason that God's own people can be deceived. We see that in Ezekiel, Matthew, Acts, 2 Corinthians. It's all over the Bible. So in view of this, the Word of God exhorts believers to test those who claim to be prophets, as we see in 1 John 4, verse 1. Now, looking at false prophets, the Apostle Paul warns of false prophets who are deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. Two key characteristics we see are that these individuals, first, deceive people doctrinally, and second, they pretend to be true apostles of Jesus Christ. So, Jesus commends those who take a stand against false apostles. Then there will be increasing apostasy. The Bible prophesies a great end times apostasy involving a massive defection from the truth. That's in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, also in Matthew 24. And now 1 Timothy 4 verses 1 and 2 warns us that the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Ooh, wow, that's powerful. Likewise, 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 warns, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Wow. Can anyone doubt that we are witnessing such things today? No, you can't doubt that. So the question also must be asked, what are some examples of national alignment in these last days? What are the signs of different national alignments? Well, Scripture reveals that in the end times, if we can call it this, a United States of Europe will emerge, a 10-nation confederacy that will constitute a revived Roman Empire. We see that in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7 and in Revelation 17. There will also be an end times military coalition that arises against Israel that includes, listen to this, Russia, Iran, Sudan, Turkey, Libya, and other Muslim nations. That's in Ezekiel 38 and 39. When this northern military coalition moves against Israel, no other nation on earth will stand with Israel. No, not even the United States. It may be that America will weaken in the end times. This could be due to a number of possible factors, including a nuclear attack, an EMP attack, that's an electromagnetic pulse attack, implosion due to moral degeneracy here, or perhaps even the rapture of the church. It also seems likely that in the end times, America may become an ally with the revived Roman Empire. So, in any event, we seem to be witnessing the setting of the stage for such alignments in our day. So, for example, the military coalition of Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, it seems to be forming before our very eyes. And the present European Union, the EU, may be the forerunner of a revived Roman Empire. The Lord also talked about earth and sky signs of the times. What are those? Well, the Bible reveals that in the future tribulation period, As we see in Matthew 23, verse 3, there will be a great increase in frequency and intensity of earthquakes and signs in the heavens. People are seeing all kinds of UFOs and all this kind of stuff happening, and they're freaking out. Intensity of earthquakes and signs in the heavens. In Luke 21:11, we read, there will be great earthquakes and various famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. Such things are said to be the beginning of birth pains. Just as birth pangs increase in frequency and intensity in a woman, so these signs will do the same here on this earth. Signs in the heavens could include any number of things, including strange weather patterns, falling stars, a darkening of the moon and other celestial bodies, specifically during the Great Tribulation period, and large bodies striking the earth. For example, in the context of future tribulation, the tribulation period, we find reference to wormwood in Revelation 8, verses 10 through 11. I'm sorry, 10 through 12, which says, the third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. So many people believe that this star will in fact be a case of near extinction. It's such a deep impact of a large meteor or an asteroid hitting the earth. It has the appearance of a star because it bursts into flames, burning like a torch, as it plummets through Earth's atmosphere. It turns a third of the waters bitter so that people who drink it die. This large volume of water may be contaminated by the residue from the disintegrating meteor as it blasts through Earth's atmosphere. Or it may be that the meteor plummets into the headwaters from which some of the world's major rivers and underground water sources flow, thereby spreading the poisonous water to many people. Now, some scholars have speculated that it may be this impact that ultimately causes a reduction in sunlight and other celestial bodies. Following this impact, a catastrophic level of earth dust will be kicked up into the atmosphere for a significant sign, thereby blocking light, as we see in Revelation 8:12. Now, there will also be technological signs of the times. Certain technological advances must occur in order for some of the things prophesied in Scripture for the tribulation period to be possible. We might call these technological signs. Many prophecy scholars believe that the technology is now in place for these things to happen. For example, Matthew 24, verse 14 tells us that prior to the second coming of Christ, the gospel must be preached to every nation. So with today's technology, satellites, internet, global media, translation technology, publishing technologies, rapid transportation, AI, and the like, this has never been more possible. Another example relates to the mark of the beast. We do not know specifically what form this mark will take, okay? But we do know that the false prophet will control who will be able to buy and sell, depending on whether they submit to worshiping the Antichrist. That's in Revelation 13. So with today's technology, internet, supercomputers, biometric identification procedures like hand scanners, retina scanners, facial recognition scanners, radio frequency identification, in other words, RFID chips, and smart card technology, hey, it would be easy for every selling establishment and every buyer to have a separate account number that would enable such control by the false prophet. This technology exists in our day, dear one. Still further, there may be some evidence in Scripture that there will be nuclear detonations in the end times. Revelation 8:7 tells us a third of the earth will be burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. So moreover, Revelation 16 verse 2 says that people around the world will break out with loathsome and malignant sores. Have to ask, could this be a result of radiation poisoning, following like a detonation of nuclear weapons? Some believe that Jesus may have been alluding to nuclear weaponry when he spoke of people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, he said. Whether or not this is so, it's clear that the technology now exists for a third of the earth to be burned up and for mass casualties. Look at the news, dear one. Is there also a modern movement toward globalism? Isn't that also an indicator of the end times? Oh, yeah. I believe so. We see these crazy globalist policies emerging in economics, banking, commerce, trade, business, management, manufacturing, environmentalism. That's a religion in itself. Population control. We see it in education, religion, agriculture, information technologies, the entertainment industry. We see it in publishing, science, medicine, even in government. The book of Revelation tells us that the Antichrist will ultimately lead a global union, an anti-God union. It will be a political union, an economic union, and a religious union, dear one. So when one considers the multiple cascading problems now facing humanity, including the Middle East conflict, terrorism, overpopulation, starvation, pollution, national and international crime, cyber warfare, economic stability, open borders, it is entirely feasible that increasing numbers of people will come to believe that such problems can be solved only on a global level. They may think that the only hope for human survival is a strong and effective world government. And even now, as the danger continues to mount, people worldwide seem to be yearning for a leader who can just be a strong person, a strong man, who can take control and fix everything. The global economy is reeling. People are suffering. And there's a sense of urgency for a powerful leader who can once and for all chart a clear global course towards stability. Such a leader is coming, and he may be already alive in this world. The Bible identifies him as the Antichrist. Now, of great significance is the fact that technology has made possible a world government, and that's now beginning to take place. It's taking shape in our day. Technology has greased the skids for the emergence of globalism again today in our lifetime. Let me ask this too. Is ever-increasing anti-Semitism another possible indicator of the last days? It certainly is. It seems clear from prophetic scripture. that Satan-inspired anti-Semitism will escalate in the end times, especially during the tribulation period. Hey, we're seeing it now on American college campuses, in Poison Ivy League campuses, all across the nation for that matter. Revelation 12, verse 13 tells us, "When the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child." This verse indicates that when Satan is definitely cast out of heaven during the future tribulation, he will engage in a great persecution against the woman. Who is that woman? It's Israel, the nation of Israel, who gave birth to the male child, Jesus Christ. Much of Satan's persecution against Israel will take place through the Antichrist, whom he energizes and empowers. This European leader seems to be the friend of Israel at the beginning of the tribulation period, but it becomes clear by the middle of the tribulation that he is Israel's worst enemy. He will break his peace treaty with Israel at the midpoint of the seven-year agreement. And following this double cross, the Antichrist will slaughter the Jews mercilessly. We see that in Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 11. He will attempt to finish what Hitler began. He will attempt genocide. Zechariah 13, verse 8 reveals that while two-thirds of the people of Israel will die, one-third will be left in the land. The persecution of Israel will be inspired by Satan himself. So, loved one, does God desire that you and I be aware of these signs of the times? Yes, I believe so. Absolutely. In the New Testament, Jesus urged his followers to be thoughtful observers of the times. One day when he was speaking to the Sadducees and Pharisees who rejected him as the divine Messiah, Jesus said, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair. It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening." You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. That's from Matthew 16, verses 1 through 3. See, these Jewish leaders were supposed to be experts in interpreting Old Testament scriptures. In messianic pages like Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 35, we are told that when Messiah came, the lame would walk, the deaf would hear, the blind would see. When Jesus came on the scene, this is precisely what happened. These Jewish leaders should have been able to recognize the signs of the times and recognize that Jesus indeed was the promised Messiah. But they were blind to this reality. You and I, dear one, are called by Jesus himself to be thoughtful observers of the times. Properly discerning the times involves measuring current events against what the Bible reveals in order to consider whether there is a legitimate correlation. If we conclude there is, then we can rejoice in God's sovereign control of human history, while at the same time, we resist the temptation to set dates, recognizing that this is something God forbids. All the while, we avoid sensationalism, craziness, recognizing that Christ calls his followers to live soberly and alertly as they await his coming. And I want to end with this today. What does the Bible say about end-time scoffers? Christians are warned in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, of the unbelief that will predominate the planet Earth in the end times. We are told that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will scoff by saying, "Oh, hey, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." Jude 18 likewise affirms this. In the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. Christians who believe in the signs of the times will be increasingly mocked and ridiculed for their beliefs, dear one. And such is already occurring among a new, more vitriolic breed of atheists and humanists. Loved one, my Christian brother and sister, be prepared. Be alert. Get ready. For our Savior is coming back, and He's coming soon. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to come. Come today. Pray with me. Invite Him into your heart and life. He will revolutionize your life, and you'll never be the same again, I promise. The Bible promises that. Let's pray this together, okay? Open your heart and pray this with everything inside you. Dear God in heaven, yes, pray with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me for the way I have lived and for the things I have done. Cleanse me with your precious blood from all my sin and unrighteousness. With my mouth, I confess the Lord Jesus. In my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and He is alive. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul, and I make Him the Lord of my life. And according to God's word, which cannot lie, I am washed, I'm cleansed, I am forgiven, I'm healed, and I am reborn. And I thank you, my God and my Savior, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you pray that prayer with me, dear one, contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Go to the contact tab, click on that, and tell me that you prayed this prayer with me today and that Jesus is now Lord of your life. If you'll do that, I'll send you a free resource in the mail, free, that's right, and postage paid, to help you get started in this walk with Christ. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may He always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may He give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May He give you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, home, relationships. And may God grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your very long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.